familiar with this portion of scripture, you shouldn't be caught. I think you'll recognize. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, Sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. I trust the Lord will use this portion of his word to prepare our hearts, as today we intend to address the question, is there really a devil? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come to you with thankful hearts that we have your word. For a question like this, we are not left up to our own imagination. We hate to admit it, but multitudes of people reject what your word teaches us. And there are multiple theories and answers to the question, is there really a devil? And many people rejecting the truth of your word have just come up with their own surmising, their own idea, cartoonists come up with imaginations and suggest certain drawings. But the truth of the matter is, the devil is no laughing matter. He is your arch enemy, Lord. And he is the enemy of our souls. And I pray that today we might get a clearer understanding of plain truth in your word. May we accept the truth. May we not try to explain it away. I pray that we might go away from this place saying it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord this day. We wait on you. We count on you. I trust in your Holy Spirit to be in control of even the preaching and teaching. And defeat any efforts the enemy might have to confuse or spoil the truth to be brought forth. We thank you in your name. And you may be seated. So our subject today is one which, sadly, a lot of people scoff at. And what oftentimes is ridiculed is that simple people would actually believe in the existence of a devil. Is there really such a being? If so, where did he come from? Is he a creature, or is he like God, eternal, always in existence? In answer to that last question, we read in Ezekiel 28 the statement that he is a created being. We saw that in Ezekiel 28 verse 15. If you didn't figure it out as we were reading, this is addressed the beginning of chapter 28, the prince of Tyre, and we see certain things noticed in verse 2, he said, thus saith the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you've said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art man and not God, though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. We find that verse 6, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Yet we find the transition takes place when we get to the scripture reading which we read in verse 12. It changes from an actual prince, and it comes to this one that's referred to as the king of Tyre, but as you follow through, you realize that going deeper, actually listening to what the scripture is saying, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and the prophet Ezekiel, was addressing Satan himself, as it talked about the various things that he possessed. We saw that he was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, in verse 12. Satan is a created being. He is not eternal, always been, always will be like God. He had a beginning. God created him. He had a purpose. He had a service to the Lord. We see here in Ezekiel 28, he was referred to as the anointed cherub in verse 15, and we see he was the covering cherub in verse 16. Talks about the beautiful description, how he looked, how all of these precious stones was his covering. Now that's hard for us to imagine a being that's covered with stones. What kind of being is this? Well, I'm not sure, but Ezekiel talks and it lists and names the various beautiful, precious stones that covered this cherub that was created not to be the devil, but was created to serve the Lord. But he lifted up his heart against the Lord. He was not content to stay in that position, and we will get to another passage in a moment here. And he fell from his original position. Interestingly enough, and I've said this before, the thing that talks about this passage here in Ezekiel mentions all of these precious stones. And what I've asked you before, what stone is there, regardless of how precious it is beautiful in the darkness? It has to have what? It has to have light. And the very thing that God had covered him with is when he got caught up with, just look how beautiful I am. He would have been nothing had the glory of the Lord not been shining on those precious stones with which he was covered. But you know, that's the way sin works. We get fooled. We get deceived. He thought he was really something. Look how beautiful I am. Truth is, nobody would ever see you if God's light had not shone on you. Well, let's look at some things here. Where did he come from? He was created. We saw he had a ministry serving the Lord as a cherub. And what does Scripture teach us about him? We're going to look at some of these very general things concerning him this morning. General things like, number one, where did we first hear of him? Where did we first hear of him? The devil. Well, he's actually first mentioned in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And it tells us here, and Satan, that's another name for the devil, isn't it? And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now we look at this, and this is where we first find reference to him. Well, Pastor, aren't you overlooking the first indication of him? No. Listen to what I'm saying. Where's the first mention of him? That's 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. But B, the first indication of this being, yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's Genesis chapter 3. Using the serpent to deceive Eve. And it tells us in verse 1 of Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't this what God said, is, let me ask you, is that what God told Adam and Eve? That you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You got to stop and think about that, don't you? He had said, you can eat of every tree in this garden, what? Except one. And isn't that the way sin works and Satan works in our lives? All the liberty, all the freedom, and what is it that we focus on in our thinking? Tell me. It's what you can't. It's what you can't. We've got a lot of veteran parents here, and we have some new ones just around the corner. Old Wade, Joanna, and Matt. You have some educational days coming. I know you had brothers and sisters. You saw it all, but it's nothing like having your own. Because we try to tell ourselves, my children will never be like that. Mine will be different. I got news for you. As much as you love them, you're still gave them that old sin nature. And it's going to rear up its ugly head. And those little children, we know, they can have a room full of toys. And little brother comes in, and they have been so happy playing with the room full of toys, but little brother walks in and comes over and picks up a toy that this child hasn't even been playing with all for hours in the living room. But all of a sudden now, what does that original child want? The toy that little brother just picked up. And it screams and it squalls and it kicks because little brother has the toy that I want. He didn't want it until the little brother picked it up. That's the way sin is. Did God tell you you can't eat of every tree? That's not what God said. He said you can eat of every tree that's here with the exception of one. And that's the one let's major on. And that's exactly what Satan did. And the first indication of him using that serpent to deceive and tempt Eve, and of course we know she fell. So, where did we first hear of him? First mentioned in 1 Chronicles 21. First indication of him in Genesis 3, using the serpent to deceive Eve. Number two, where did he come from? Where did he come from? Answer to that, let's see his origin. And that was our scripture reading that we read this morning. Ezekiel chapter 28 is the recording in scripture of his origin. As we saw in verses 12 through 19, he was a created cherub. He was created as an angelic being, with the freedom to come and go in the presence of God. But it tells us here, let me see, in verse 15 of Ezekiel 28, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in you. What was the iniquity that was found in this anointed cherub? For that answer, let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, and we'll look at verses 12 through 17. Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. And it starts out here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Does anybody have any idea who Lucifer is? It's Satan. Now, literally, this word Lucifer, it means O day star, son of morning. But this is Lucifer, Satan. And here is the record of his fall and what iniquity was found in him. Notice that his fall did what to the nations? Verse 12. Was he good for the world or bad for the world? Let's keep that in mind. We think of some of those Satan worshipers. Yeah, there are Satan worshipers. He's not good for the world. He has weakened the nations through his activity. Let's look at verse 13. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. This is the portion, if you like to mark in your Bibles, you can mark it five times here. If you get a colored pencil or something, five I wills that was recorded from Lucifer. The first one, I will ascend into heaven. Now, it would seem, as the anointed cherub recovers, it seemed as though this was one of those things which Satan, the devil, already had the privilege of doing. It seems as though, as you look at Ezekiel 28, and here, he originally was created with that capacity as an unsinning creature that God had created. He had the capacity to enter into heaven and enter into the presence of God. But just like that child that has a whole room full of toys, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted more. So he said, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Can we get a realm of, in our minds, the picture of this? One of the things in the last 30 years that we have been fascinated with the technology of mankind, the inventions of astronomers, not astrologers. Astronomers, that's a commendable profession. They study the stars. Astrologers are fortune tellers. Many times it seems agents of the devil himself. But astronomers, and what we've been seeing in the last 30 years or so, the pictures that these telescopes way out there are sending us of stars, other galaxies, universes that we never even knew existed. And they are sending to us pictures for the first time. Guess what? We look up there and we say, well, that's the end of them. That's the end of the stars out there. No. Stars and stars.
stars. And it talks about these hundreds, thousands of light years for the light. But listen to what Lucifer said. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. How far away is that? Well, it's going to be up above those stars. That's where my throne will be. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You want an interesting study sometime in your scripture. Do a study to find out where theologians believe heaven is and the throne of God. Let me just say, there is much support for heaven and the throne of God to be of the four names of the points of the compass. Any venture on which one is believed that heaven and the throne of God is? North. One of his aspirations was this: I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. What I believe he was saying, up there where God's throne is, in the north. Number 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Well, with space travel, there's a lot of things that are above the heights of the clouds, aren't there? At the time this was written, that seemed pretty far out there. Now we know even mankind has gone further out than the clouds. But the most tragic of these high buildings is his fifth and final one. I will be like the Most High. That was his most tragic aspiration. God, he thinks he's something. I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to be just like him. Who are we talking about? Is there really a devil? Yes, there is. We saw he was a created being that let his beauty go to his, it was his reflected beauty, went to his head, and he started convincing himself that he was really something and could be something on his own. That's the crazy thing about when we get deceived in realms of sin. We think we can make it on our own. We think we don't need anyone. We think, I've got this covered. This was Satan. I'll be like God. You might need God, but I won't. I'm going to be just like him. I'll be just as glorious. I'm going to be just as spectacular. I'll be just like him. Well, number three, we saw where we first heard of him. We saw where he came from. And we asked ourselves this question: did Christ recognize his existence? Did Christ recognize his existence? Remember we started at the outset, is the devil real? Some people just laugh and say, just some made-up fairy tale. All right, let's see, what about Christ, our Lord and Savior? Did he poo-hoo stories about the devil? Did he try to teach people, don't worry about it. That's just pretend. That's just make-believe. There's not really a devil. Did Christ recognize his existence? Did Christ silence some of the old fables? Well, let's see. A, in Matthew 4 and in Mark 1, in his temptation, the Lord conversed with and resisted the devil. Is he real or isn't he? What Christ, did he recognize his existence? And in Matthew 4, Mark 1, we know that after the 40 days of being up there without anything to eat or drink in his weakest moment, and by the way, that's the way the enemy of our soul works. He likes to take advantage of people's misery and woe. He likes to come when people are at their weakest. That's the kind of character he is. After 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain, enter Satan, the devil, and he began to tempt him. And so we find not only did he tempt the Lord to sin, but the thing that I'm pointing out here is the Lord Jesus conversed with him and resisted him. And how did the Lord resist him? Did he just shout louder than he did? Did he just tell him, go away? What was the main thing that the Lord used in resisting Satan? Which is a clue for sharp Christians. When Satan tempts me, I can learn from my Savior. What was it that gave him victory?
Scripture.
It was God's Word. Satan can't stand against the truth of God's Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Satan could not prevail, because the three times Satan and the devil tempted our Lord, three times our Lord came back with what? The Word of God. And by the way, one of those three times, Satan did what he is a master of. He misquoted the passage of Scripture to the Lord. He said, didn't it say, doesn't it say, you look, he did not quote it properly. He misquoted it to try to trick the Lord up. Doesn't it say? The Lord didn't put it this way. No, it doesn't say it like that. The Lord just simply responded with the truth of God's Word. So, did Christ recognize his existence? Absolutely. In his temptation, he conversed and resisted him. B, in our Lord's teaching, he referred to him. In temptation, he resisted him. But during his teaching, he referred to him. If there really was no devil, then why in Matthew 25, verse 41, did Jesus say this? Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for, you know whom? The devil and his angels. Jesus didn't deny his existence. He taught about him and gave us truth. That's what the everlasting fire has been prepared for. Some people say, I just don't see how a loving God could have a place like that and would send people to a place like that. What a terrible God. God did not prepare that for mankind. Mankind will spend eternity there. But the Lord taught the true meaning of hell. And that is that it was the place of everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Does he have angels? Yeah, we call them demons. And that's what hell was prepared for. How tragic when a person lives their life rejecting the salvation that Christ has offered, and they too will be cast into that place which was created for the devil and his angels. But that's where unregenerate man will spend all eternity. John chapter 12, verse 31, we see more references to him. John 12, 31, Jesus said this, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? Satan. John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing or no interest in me. Yes, the Lord referred to him in his teaching. John chapter 8, verse 44. That familiar verse when it said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Pretty good description our Lord gave of the devil, if there is no devil, like many people try to claim. In Ephesians chapter 2, in conjunction with this John 8:44, you're of your father the devil. In Ephesians 2:2-3, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Lord Jesus caught it personally during his ministry. He referred to him. And even his writers, we know in Scripture, referred to him. We ask ourselves, where did we first hear of him? Where did he come from? And did Christ recognize him or put down the reality of his existence? Number four, let's just ask ourselves, what else can we learn from Scriptures? What else can we learn from Scripture? A, turn if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You say, boy, I'm sure happy I'm going to be able to learn everything there is about the devil in this one-hour service this morning. Not. We're not going to be able to get all that material, but I want to just give us enough to emphasize the reality of the tragedy and the danger of this enemy of our soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed or changes himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed or fashioned as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What do we see? He is an angel of light, and his greatest masterpiece is when he comes up with a falsehood which closely resembles the truth. He works hardest on that. His servants, angels of light, transform themselves. They present themselves, but they're not really presenting the truth. And we find here that's what Satan works hardest as, to transform himself to be as close to the real thing as he possibly can. Illustration. Those who work in the FBI, those who work in the banking and in the financial realm, the agents are trained to recognize counterfeit money. Do you know what the agents spend most of their time studying in their training? In learning how to spot counterfeit money. You know what they look at?
The real thing.
They look at the real thing. That is the bulk of their study course. Studying what real money looks like, and then they are so much quicker to be able, regardless of the skill of the counterfeiter, to be able to recognize when something is not quite like it is on the original. That's, what's your point, Pastor? That's Satan's efforts. He tries to resemble the real thing as closely as he possibly can. He transforms himself into an angel of light. His servants, they appear to be good guys, on the up and up, really serving, honoring the Lord. But that's not the truth. We see he is an angel of light. We see he is dangerous. B. He is our enemy that has set himself upon our destruction. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can be, he is dangerous, but number C, he can be, or letter C, he can be defeated and resisted. Defeated and resisted. How can he be defeated? Ephesians chapter 6. Paul said this in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of, you know whom? The devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Beloved, we've mentioned it numerous times before, our greatest enemy as a Christian is not flesh and blood. That's what Paul said. Verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, but I know that brother-in-law. Oh, but I know that boss. Oh, but I know that neighbor, whatever. They sure seem like flesh and blood to me. The real enemy is the unseen spiritual force behind that. That's who principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, the enemy is unseen. How in the world are we supposed to be able to stand, resist? How in the world are we supposed to be able to make it? We put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And in the next few verses, Paul spells out the entire armor of God. You see, he can be defeated. He can be resisted. James 4:7 tells us this. It says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and you know what it says? He will flee from you. You don't resist him in your own strength, and neither do I. We resist him with the armor of God on in the name of the Lord, and then we can find he can be resisted. In 1 Peter 1:5, after we saw, 5:9, after we saw that he's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, Peter then says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Well, D, as we think about what else can we learn from him, we see in Hebrews 2:14, he is a defeated, he is a destroyed creature. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, our Lord, is who the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Our Lord himself took part of the same, what? Flesh and blood. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Why? That through D. death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He is a destroyed creature. Is he is doomed eternally. Doomed eternally. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 2. I, John. I'm sorry. And he laid hold. Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Verse 7, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Yes, he's going to get an innumerable multitude of people to join with him after the millennium to fight against the Lord. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever, forever. Interesting, in this last reference of him in Revelation chapter 20, we see mention of him, of that very first mention where there was evidence of his presence. Did you notice in verse 2, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent? Yep. Is there really a devil? We have seen the account of the scriptures. Sadly, multitudes in modern times are joining churches of Satan, worshiping Satan as though he were God, as though they were going to gain by investing their lives in service to him. We've just given you a quick survey of scripture from the first mention to his final doom. There are so many more sidelines we could have taken. Beloved, we find that this very day he is still attempting to be like the Most High. Only Christ can deliver from his power and his control. Have you yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and given your life to serve him? He's the head of the winning side. Shall we close? Father, thank you. Thank you that you enabled us this morning to take a quick look from beginning to the end. I pray that we would take to heart what we've seen and heard. You know us, Lord. it would be nice if we could just say as Christians, we don't have to worry about the world, the flesh, or the devil. But that's not true. As long as we are this side of glory, we stand in danger of taking our eyes off of you and cooperating with our enemy. I pray that you would use your word as it has gone out this morning to know hearts. May this be a help and an encouragement to someone who has listened with the truth of your word concerning the world's biggest liar.